Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Hello, peeps.
Oh my gosh, everyone. This has been quite a morning.
Liz has fog brain.
Oh my gosh, I do, because our dog was up at 2 o'clock last night and
we had some thunder and lightning, and dogs don't love that.
But Amy was just telling me about the weather cape. She just was talking about the weather cape. Like we all know what the weather cape is.
We have some strong storm, severe weather coming our way.
Do you have a cape? No. A little bit. In your head you're like,
cape is a scientific technical term, and she keeps trying to say it's like a cape that I wear.
But no. I didn't know. I had to ask a few times.
You did have to ask.
But it's a weather term.
It is.
Because shortly after you told me about the weather cape, then we were moving to discussions about wearing bike helmets and swim goggles in our basement for protective gear. So it's been a morning over here.
If you were expecting flying debris, those are the suggestions by some of the weather scientists stay safe and protect your head. So please all gather your bike helmets.
Okay, runners, go get your swim goggles and bike helmets.
Okay. So, Liz, today we're going to talk about hills. But before we do that, you were recently on a trip to kind of scope out for your tri clinic that you're going to hold in Boulder.
Yeah.
And you came across an interesting wildlife.
Holy.
Tell us about
smokes. That. So, I mean, I feel like I kind of brush off the things about sharks and snakes. Like, I don't really run with a lot of fear around those things. But I was running on this new trail I was scoping out in Boulder, and my foot, I don't even know how I heard it, because the rattle is not that loud, and I do not have good ears. My ears, they ring. I don't hear that great. And my foot was coming down, and I heard this rattle, and it was the color of the dirt, and it was coiled up, which I didn't know, is like the striking thing.
They could spring from there.
Well, I didn't know that. Casey told me that when it's coiled up like that, that's like how it's going to strike. And my foot was coming down. Like, I don't know how I missed it. Like, it was, and then it rattled and slithered away.
Oh, it was kind of crazy. God. You had a snake encounter.
Well, I did. And I feel like it probably should have scared me more than it did. But it slithered away, and I don't think I...
What happens if you get bit by a rattlesnake?
Well,
what are you supposed to do?
Casey and I were talking about that. He said you do a tourniquet, and then you get to the hospital. And I was like, I don't carry anything that's like a tourniquet. But apparently you're really supposed to stop the blood flow, as much as you can, which makes sense, because once the poison
is...
And then you need to get to the... Then you need to get to the hospital.
Yeah. So say you're bitten on the lower leg, then you would go maybe above the knee and tie something really tight around there to stop
and then,
it from...
Which, I mean, I feel like you need to get to the hospital, basically. But if you can't stop the...
Because
blood,
there's anti-venom or something that they're going to give you there?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've anti-venom, and they have ways to... I don't really know. I mean, I know enough to I know that you need the tourniquet, and then you need to get to the hospital.
Yeah. Interesting. Fascinating.
Anyway,
stuff.
I mean, I've been going out to Colorado since I was an infant, and I've not ever encountered a rattlesnake, so I feel like we're safe out there, people.
Yeah.
We just,
Cool.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about hills and hill repeats, why we do that in training, and the form that goes along with that for running and cycling.
Yes.
So the reason that, I'm training people who are doing, who are running half and full marathon distances, and hill repeat training for my folks is, there's a strength component. Mm-hmm. There's becoming efficient going up the hill, mm-hmm. but it's not to try to run up the hill necessarily super fast or faster. It's more about how can we manage those hills within a run so that when we get to the top, we recover fat quickly.
Okay.
And maybe we don't lose as much time on the hill, but it's not about I have to be faster getting up the hills. It's more about the efficiency and the economy so that you don't blow the rest of the run or the course because you overdid it on a hill or weren't efficient on a hill. And then that brings us into the form then.
So are you teaching your body, basically your body then is adjusting to the hill so that when you meet a hill in a race, it doesn't blow your body apart.
Yeah. And you can recover from it fast from a cardiovascular standpoint and then be able to resume your target pace. So you're not going to necessarily run up that hill at your race pace, mm-hmm. right? But you're going to resume it at the top quicker. And, you know, and when you do practice it and become more efficient, you actually will end up running up the hill a little bit faster than you would have before mm-hmm. or been capable of doing before. But it's not about like, oh, I need to, you know, I need to meet this specific time every time I'm doing a hill repeat. It's not about like, I've got to sprint up at the top of it mm-hmm. to get better. That's not the point of hill repeats. And I think that gets lost sometimes in people's minds. They feel like they need to just go up as fast as they can up the hill. But how do you treat hill repeats when you're doing tri training?
I mean, for triathlon, I'll use them for a number of different things. Doing speed work for triathlon in running is, it's not that it's tricky. It's just that it doesn't translate just directly out of like how you would look up and do to speed work in a run necessarily mm-hmm. because you're, you know, your legs are tired and also what you need for the run on triathlon is different. And so I will use hill repeats like, earlier in the season, I will use shorter, slightly harder efforts up a hill. One, I'll use them in replacement of speed work because it's just not as hard on the body as like straight out speed work for triathletes. They don't tend to overstride. They don't hit as hard. So I can get some of the same muscle recruitment and some of those short bursty things to work on really good form in like 15, maybe 30 second short bursts up a hill early in the season. For later in the season, I'll use them for building strength, because when you're thinking about for building running for triathlon, and again, you know, I usually work with people doing half and full Ironman distances, but even for like, you know, Olympic distance and even a little bit in the sprint, your run, you're coming off of it fatigued. And so one of the things you're thinking about is building strength, both like muscular strength, but also strength for form, meaning your form, like, so it's form under fatigue is something yes. that we work a lot with for triathlon. Mm-hmm. And so using hill repeats to build strength that then translates to later into the run during a race is what we'll use hill repeats for. I will also, if I have an athlete going to do a run on that, like their run will be on a hilly part of a course.
Oh, exactly.
Then
like they know
I'll use it to. Yeah. We work on like pacing and how to manage a hill without blowing yourself apart. So that's like a second. That's when you're getting more into like the race specific training that you do sort of in the final weeks of a race prep.
Yeah, I will have runners who, even if they're anticipating a flat course, right?
Of course.
We still do the hill training because of that component, like you said, is learning to run fatigued. The strength component, I mean, it's like a strength workout yeah. as well as a cardio workout.
Well, and if you have a race that has a lot of downhill, like I know people think, you know, there's that race in California that people use to try to qualify for Boston or like Grandma's Marathon, which... Anyway, the downhill...
Net downhills,
is
long
very hard.
Stretches of low-grade downhills, it'll kill you. Even running Boston, there's the net downhill, and it is rough.
It's really hard. You have to prepare.
You really want to have your quads ready for that, because if they're not strong enough for that, it will eat you up in the end of the race.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about the purpose of hill repeats with cycling?
Oh, this is this is harder. This is hard. So like conceptually on the bike, it's not that much different than the run in that, like, you know, you want to use it to build strength and then you want to make sure that you understand how to approach a hill during a race so that you don't blow your legs apart. But the thing with a bike is that you're on a machine, and, you know, with running, you get a lot of feedback about like the grade of a hill and, you know, how tired you are going into a hill, and you get a lot of feedback about how your body feels that is very easy to miss on the bike. And so what tends to happen on the bike is that people go much harder on hills for a couple of different reasons. One, they don't know that they're going that hard because it takes a minute for that effort it takes a minute for the feedback about how hard you're going on the bike to set in. It's
yeah,
not like the
response.
Run. It's a delayed response. Mm-hmm. So what tends to happen with people on the bike is that they will start a hill And this is where, if you have a power meter, it's extremely helpful because it shows you how hard you go on the hill. So if I have somebody that when I was doing Ironman, I've done some pretty, some reasonably hilly courses on Ironman, and inevitably people would sprint up the hill on the bike and then coast down. Mm-hmm. And the issue with that and what you want to flip with that is that if I go easy up the hill and then I use the downhill to recover that speed, I'm getting to the same point with half the energy because I've conserved my energy going up and then I've used the momentum from the downhill to get to that same point. And so I would be on this course and I'd be going easy up the hill and everybody would blow past me on the hill. And then they'd all be going really easy down the hill and I'd blow past them on the downhill. But, you do that over the course of 112 miles and it's like you're making some decisions about the effort that your legs are doing. And so you really need to be strategic about the hills on the bike. And I tell people, you would never go run a marathon and every time you hit a hill, do...
Sprint up it,
right?
Right. But people kind of do a little bit sometimes.
Okay, well, that's sort of...
Not sprint up it, but I know what you're saying. I mean, they don't economize necessarily. They think they need to maintain their race pace up it.
Mm-hmm. And then by the time they get to the end...
Right. And yeah, right.
And so, just the purposes on the bike, like, well, I'll use the bike, of course, for the same thing for the run, like either the strength or learning how to do it in a race. But one of the things that takes the most work at working with people on the bike is on the hills is learning how, when you approach a hill, you need to anticipate that hill before you get to it and adjust your gearing so that when you start that hill, because that first, like, anywhere from like 10 to 30 seconds on the bike, people, the effort that they are putting out without realizing it is literally like the same effort if you did a 100-yard dash on a track in a marathon. Like you really spike on that first part of the hill because without realizing it, they're slamming on their pedals. And so we have to learn how to take that first part of that hill, like what feels stupid, stupid easy. And then you start, you get the main chunk of that hill and like, whatever effort you're supposed to be doing and then how you crest the hill. So you come up and over the top of that hill without losing your momentum. You actually build into the top of the hill and then come down and over. And it's learning. I mean, I know we're talking about the purposes and not the form yet, but the purpose of hill repeats on the bike for triathlon is very often going out there and just practicing where you're supposed to be putting your effort as you're going up and over a hill, because otherwise, if you don't have that, if you don't know how to do that, you're like it's just going to blow everything else apart on the bike.
Yeah. I think the purpose is what you're saying is to practice the technique too. And I remember when I was first, cycling for triathlon and I went out to Shawnee Mission Park, which is, it's pretty hilly, mm-hmm. and there's that dam hill, and mm-hmm. I like that. That means it's over a dam.
Yeah,
but it also is the dam hill.
Yeah,
and I remember going, towards that, and the first few times that I've went around that course, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa! It's almost like I could lose my balance. Like I was got to the point where I was in the wrong gear, in that I lost momentum completely and just was going to teeter over.
Yeah,
which is dangerous too because there's cars.
Sometimes people will come and like they see a hill coming and so they will like try to get up their momentum before they hit the hill and then they'll get, a fourth of the way up the hill and they haven't adjusted their gears yet. And so then they start to try to pedal and they haven't anticipated, the needs of the machine they're on. And so then you're in a gear that's way too hard. And not only are you really spiking your effort, but you can't get those gears around. And so you spend the rest of the hill trying to like overcompensate for that or possibly not falling if the hill's mm-hmm. really steep.
Yeah.
And so there's a huge amount that you have to do with like anticipating the gearing and then changing the gears and like how do you feel that and should you be an aero, should you be sitting up, and then once that terrain changes at the top of the hill. So it's not intuitive, really.
Yeah, it's not. It isn't. But once you learn it, then in practice it, and that's the whole point for the having repeat hill repeat training or hill training.
Yeah.
With the cycling.
Also on the bike, going down is a learned skill too, because it's that going down the hill. So the purpose, like I will send people out for hill repeats downhill, because you do need to learn. how to safely go down a hill and how to use that momentum, but in a way that feels controlled and safe for you, because, you know, it's, you don't want to fly off your bike going
right.
down a hill.
Right. And then, yeah. And know, it's the same for running too, although it's less of a safety issue, well, but yeah, it's long-term different. Safety in terms of injury, prevention of injury is running downhill correctly.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ready to do hill form? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about the form with for going up and downhill for run and bike. So first we'll talk about run. And I love this part of run clinic. Whenever I hold run clinic, we always do a few different sessions on hill running and having the correct form. And this, again, is for that whole efficiency, but also prevention of injury in some respects. So my guideline for running uphill is about managing your stride, so your stride length and where your hands are placed. So where your arms are placed or where your hands are placed. So all the things that you would have for good run form, push the ground away behind you, all of those things, which we can talk about in a different cast, come into play here with the hill running form. The differences are when you are going uphill, you want to lean into that hill a little bit, but that doesn't mean bend at the waist. So you're going to lean into this. It's tempting to kind of like shy away from that hill.
And you're leaning from the ankles.
Sort of. Leaning from the ankles. Yep. So you're not preventing your lean. Against a lot of people will stop, get rid of their run form, their lean when they're going uphill. And I don't know why that is, but it's something that people will do.
Well, and what I find is leaning from the ankles and making sure that your head's involved in the lean so that you're not like...
The whole body leans.
You're not lifting forward. Your chin while you're leaning forward.
Yep.
Right?
And you want to look...
Standing tall.
That's a good point here is that you want to look 20 feet ahead, because if you try to look up at the top of the hill, then that head goes that head goes up and we lose our form. Yep. Or if we want to try to look at right where our feet are, again, we lose our form again. We're going to lose our lean. So an eye gaze of 20 feet ahead... Hand placement, you're going to raise your hands up a little bit more. So think like little T-Rex arms or little arm, like your hands are a little bit more placed at your armpit. And what this is doing is, it's raising up your base of support a little bit. And then with the stride length, we actually want to shorten our stride length a little bit. That's going to give us some more power. If we start to try to maintain our flat or our downhill stride, we're going to be in trouble. So, yeah, go ahead.
And so the way that I will explain that to people is that you don't want to, like, if you overstride, it's almost like your quads are having to pull you up the hill versus that short stride, and then you can use your glutes to help push you up.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yes, that's absolutely 100% correct. And even if you were running on a flat, we want to, that's our focus, is to push the ground away from you and use your glutes, not drive from the front of our bodies.
Right.
And it becomes a little bit more difficult when you're going up a hill to do that. And if you shorten your stride a little bit, that will help. So those are my main, there's some more to it. Those are some good things to start with and to practice. And I think that you can visualize them a little bit. And then when it comes to downhill.
But I think standing, like just reminding people to stand tall. As you're going up, I think that also sometimes that, I don't know, I feel like sometimes we collapse in and we're looking down. And so I feel like.
Yeah, that's that head position.
Yeah.
And your head is going to go where your eyes go. So if you look 20 feet ahead at the hill, not at the top and not at your feet, that is going to automatically put you in that lengthened position and you won't get into your crouch. But you do pay attention to your head. I mean, if the eye thing isn't working for you.
Well, and we had talked about breathing. So I feel like standing tall also allows you to breathe. And like, and I feel like especially like you see people at the end of an Ironman and it's like their run has just deteriorated. And so things you can do to, one of the things we talk a lot about with my athletes is things that you can do that decreases the effort for the speed that you are currently at. So it's not always about trying to increase your speed, but trying to minimize, and that standing tall like makes you just much more efficient and also allows that breath in. And so I feel like, stand tall.
And that is something we worked on just recently. I had that run clinic and we were doing the uphill repeats. And it's interesting to watch the people who had learned how to breathe properly weren't breathing properly during the hill hill repeats. And in this particular instance, it wasn't because they didn't, you know, weren't looking in the right place or didn't have the correct posture. It's just that they were getting fatigued, mm-hmm. and that the first thing that starts to go is form issues. And sure. for a lot of them, it was the breathing. And it was also like concentrating on a couple of other things as well, and then losing that breath. But as soon as they got that breath work, everything came together.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And if you haven't listened to our breathing podcast, we do have a episode about that. Okay, so we talk about downhill?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so for downhill, my tips would be, and this is just, again, these are a little bit more generalized terms. There's more that goes into it. But when we're running downhill, and when you're thinking about the form with this, imagine a steeper hill because it's kind of easier to get the feel for something. Mm-hmm. But it goes for even, you know, less of a grade, but it's a long term, mm-hmm. right? So the same things apply. It's just more dramatic when it's steeper. So let's talk about where our eyes are. Same thing, 20 feet ahead, okay. for all the reasons we've been talking about. The hands are actually going to go lower than they normally do when you're on a flat even.
Okay.
So I like people to hold their hands around where their chest is, like
on a flat.
On a flat. And then when we go uphill, like I said, we're going to raise them up to a little bit more pit level. When we're going downhill, we're going to raise it down to hip level. Mm-hmm. And the reason for doing that is that, you know, we're going downhill, gravity, it's gravity assisted, mm-hmm. and we want to control the landing. Mm-hmm. So when we're controlling that landing, we're going to lower our base of support, and mm-hmm. we do that by lowering our hand placement.
Fantastic.
Then the other thing is, it is oh so tempting to overstride and just fly down the hill. And I think what people don't understand is that, you know, while it might not be painful at the time, you're actually harming yourself if you're overstriding down a hill.
Yeah.
In terms of joint impact and joint, hip, knees, back. And then also the fact that when you're overstride, you're actually slowing yourself down. You're kind of putting on the brakes a little bit when you don't need to or want to do that. You want to take advantage of the gravity. So we're not going to shorten our stride as short as it was when we were going uphill, but we're going to manage that stride, and it should be similar to what your flat is, where the feet are landing underneath your base of support, underneath your hips. It's very tempting to try to take advantage and lengthen it. What you might feel like, oh, I'm just not getting as much out of this hill because I'm not letting myself go, you know. But you can actually let yourself go. You're managing that fall, or that gravity assist. The part where it comes in is that gravity assist, you're actually going to cover more ground in the float phase, which is that phase where you're both legs are up off the ground when you're running. So while it might not look to you like you're covering as much mm-hmm. ground, you're actually covering more ground during the float phase because you managed where those feet were landing and didn't overstride.
Okay. And so you said you're still looking 20 feet ahead. What do you tell people about the body length for downhill? Like, do you use your body length? Do you lean back a little bit more? Or do you stand tall? Do you lean forward?
Very good question. You keep your forward lean.
Okay.
Okay. So it's going to be a lot easier to do that on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel unsteady because you didn't lower your base of support with your arms being lowered down, or you didn't manage your stride length, it will feel out of control and mm-hmm. you will start to lean back. Mm-hmm. And what that does is, again, you get less advantage of that downhill. Mm-hmm. You get less momentum from the gravity and you start breaking.
Levi is very excited about this topic.
I'm sorry, leaning back will also cause you to sort of break or slow down.
Yeah.
So, and again, it's practice. It's practicing and feeling these things and working on these things that will help.
Yeah.
Hence the hill repeats.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking about triathlon and downhill running, and like sometimes when you're late into a race and like your legs are just kind of shot and you don't have like as much nuanced control, and sometimes you do need to shorten that stride and lean back a little bit, and you are slowing down. I mean, it's almost
you're
like a
on
hike.
Purpose slowing down.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm wondering mm-hmm. if I have done that, and maybe I don't know if it's right, but that's what I've done. Like, if you feel like your legs are gonna buckle because you're at mile 20 of it, and sometimes you have to. I'm just thinking out loud, like in terms of.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think that your form should still be during those moments. You should still be working on that downhill form, even when you're super tired and starting to get sloppy. And I would go back to that pre-acting thing. But I think this is exactly why you are having athletes practice this and do the longer hill repeats later in the season, mm-hmm. and working on it when they're really tired, mm-hmm. and really even strengthening strength work outside of hill repeats too is huge. I would imagine it would be very, very difficult. And I would think if you can't control it, if you can't do the right form, maybe we walk then that portion.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at that point you're doing a lot of different things.
Walking anyway.
It's not walking, but you're trying to, you know, get as much speed forward as you can. And so we do some funky things, and I feel like sometimes that, you know,
sometimes
it's more about not face planting.
Right.
While you can still, like, run as much as you can. Because running downhill at that point in a Ironman is,
feel really, really, really out of control. And I would imagine kind of scary even, especially if it was somewhat steeper too. But all of the things, I would shorten your stride even more. That's what I would do. So like maybe more like it is on the uphill, just because that way you have more control and the hands being lowered will help. And you want to take advantage of the momentum, but if you don't feel like you have control, then you're not going to be able to lean forward as much.
No.
But I would be careful about leaning back more just because of the complications that can make over time if you're doing that.
I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm thinking about the downhill run at the end of Kona, like on that run, and I'm like, there was there was leaning back, there was breaking with my heels, there was my fore. I'm just telling you the reality of
right,
what
was happening. Right, the reality of there it.
Was, yeah. I mean, the run form was not.
Yep. I cannot imagine. And this is someone who's, you know, with a lot of experience, who's really well trained. It's not like you weren't trained. Well.
No.
Yeah. So, okay, let's switch gears and go to the bike. What do we have for biking form going up?
Yes. So I like to, so a lot of times what we see with the bike is that a lot of the energy and the effort when people aren't super comfortable on hills, either up or down, is that we get it, is all focused through like the upper body. So you see people gripping the handlebars, their shoulders are up, their teeth are really clenched. They're like pulling up on the handlebars. So it's like you're really using a lot of energy through that upper body when you really want to shift that to what's happening through the core and the legs. And so actually, you know, and whether or not you're doing like, it will matter if you're trying to pace up a hill versus like trying to do like, you know, really hard hill repeats, this is going to vary. But let's say for now you're in a race and you're, you know, it's a hilly course and you're thinking about like conserving your energy. What I like to think about is that your hands should be pretty relaxed on the handlebars. Your shoulders are down, your jaw's relaxed, you're breathing, right? So you really have taken the energy. You don't need to be using energy to be clenching everything up the hill. And then you're thinking about like engaging your core, and like you want to be, it's not just your legs that are grinding up that hill. It's also thinking about creating that stable platform for your legs to work against. And that platform is going to come both from the pedal, but also from your core. And so really thinking about engaging that core, and actually like, you know, that can be, the cues can be different for people, but you want to be thinking maybe about sucking your belly button in, or, sometimes I'll even like squeeze my butt a little bit to just create that platform while I'm then, you know, using my legs. So it's through my core and my glutes and my legs that are really engaging.
Rather
than the upper body. Yeah. And then making sure that you're shifting correctly, you know, and so you're looking for, you're feeling that resistance for changes in the road with like how hard it feels to pedal. And then you're adjusting either your cadence or your gears to adjust for that. And then, you know, you can be going up a hill and it can have little like divots and nuances and it changes. And so even though you're going up a hill, you're not going to be staying in the same gear. And you may start out in aero and then sit up, because you're going to get a different kind of power through the legs when you're sitting up versus in aero. And so, you know, it depends on your training and the course and all of that kind of stuff. But generally, a lot of us are going to be sitting more up coming up a hill, because you get more power coming up, and you also don't need to be as aerodynamic going up a hill.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes you do, because if the wind is coming over the top of it, but yeah. And so just thinking about using your, your lower body and relaxing your upper body and trying to breathe, and then really paying attention to your power reading and what you're doing with your gears and your cadence to get you up the hill efficiently.
Now, when you talk about power rating or power meter,
what that is,
that's something that you've practiced and learned about what your power is, right? Kind of like your heart rate. So you'd be like, okay, well, Amy, based on your training, here's going to be where I would want you to sit in terms of your power when you're doing a hill.
Yes.
So there's not like, oh, it needs to be blah, blah, blah.
No. It's individual. And the thing about with a power, without going too deep down a wormhole, you know, like generally if people have they're doing a 70.3 or an Ironman or whatever the race is, they will have like a number range they're trying to hit for the flats. When you get onto a hill, because there's naturally more resistance, that number will be a little slightly elevated from what it is on the flats. And so that number will go up higher just so that people kind of know that if they're somebody who uses power. So it might be like, say you're, you know, like racing at 140 to 160 watts on a hill, it may be something like, you know, 170 to 190, depending on your strength and all of that kind of stuff. So it will shift up a little bit, but it's not going to be like, you're not going to go from like 150 watts to like 200 or 350 watts, which is very easy to do, especially in the start of that hill. That's where you really have to, you want to use those numbers to really watch. Yeah. And then as you crest and go over the hill and
And that's where over time, that way too hard effort, that way too much power exerted on hill after hill and a course will add up.
So,
anything to say about the downhill?
There's a lot to say about the downhill. One, that it's, you know, it's, I hear a lot of people tell me how scared they are, and there's always sort of like people are ashamed of that because I think that people think they should just like know how to bomb down a hill, but that is not the case. There's a lot to be gained from a downhill, but you have to decide your own comfort level with it, and you have to develop that comfort, right? So it's not just, and you know, some people, there may be people who just are never going to be comfortable going downhill, and they may ride their brakes, you know, and if that is you, then own it and figure out how to make the best of that hill. If you're somebody who's comfortable bombing down the hill, that's great. But as you're going down a hill, what you're thinking about is wanting to both use the momentum and then get as small as you can, you know, and sometimes I will, instead of being like in my aero bars, if you're riding a triathlon bike, I will crouch down and get in the aero position, but I will still have my hands on like either the hoods or wherever it is on the bike so that I have access to my brakes and quick shifting, because you want to have control of that bike and you don't generally have the same kind of control when you're in aero. So I will get down, I will tuck my elbows in, I'm, you know, my head is in the right position, I'm making myself as small as I can. And then I'm also really leaning forward on those to help, you know, you want to work with the gravity. And so I will sometimes lean forward. Sometimes I'll stand up a little bit on my pillow, on my pedals, and get down and lean into it. Sometimes I'm staying on my saddle. So it kind of just depends, but you really want to be working with the terrain at that point. And it's, as far as shifting when you're going downhill, generally what you want to do, you know, you've come up that hill as you go. And by the way, people do stand on hills, but that is a specific set of skills that you train for a specific reason. Generally, we're not, because you're going to stand, it's going to wear your legs out. So everything I said about going up the hills on a bike is in the saddle. But as you get to the top of the hill, what happens is, because, you know, you think about that terrain is giving away. And so you're coming up and over that hill. So really what you want to do is, as you come up, you're going to start actually gearing in a way that makes it a bit harder. So you're gearing down because you want to keep that resistance the same. You don't want to get to the top of the hill and all of a sudden you're at the top of the hill and you're spinning your, you know, you've lost all of the grip on the road because you're spinning your cadence or whatever. So you've geared up, you want to increase your effort as you go up and over the top of the hill. And then you're going to gear, continue to increase your effort as you crest and go start that downhill. But at some point, you're probably going to hit, you may hit the downhill where you no longer can pedal or have any gears left. And at that point, then you're going to tuck in and you're not going to keep pedaling. You don't want to chase the power downhill. You're just going to tuck in and use that momentum, unless it's a hill that is either not super steep or super long and you can continue to pedal, in which case you still do that. but you also are still getting into that aerodynamic position. So you're working with the terrain as you go downhill. But I generally keep my hands ready to shift and ready to handle those gears. And yeah, that's, yeah, you come downhill and use that momentum, but you stay vigilant. I mean, you want to watch for any, you know, pebbles on the road.
That's what I love going down the hill. And I always think, I'm not going to do that again. And then I get there, and it is like your comfort level. I feel in control.
People
and
I'll be
like,
love going down
the hill. Oh my God, that was so fast. And then afterwards I'm sweating. I'm like, oh my God, that's so scary about what I just did. But at the moment I felt in control, but it does. I think what makes me scared afterwards is like, man, if I would have hit a rock or something,
yeah, you really have to watch.
Then a wipeout. Yes. Be careful.
Yeah. If you are somebody who rides your trainer inside a lot, low cadence work to build strength on the bike is really helpful. So low cadence, I mean, I will typically work with like cadence 60 to 65 as that low cadence. You get much lower than that and you can run into some like knee and joint problems. And you also get to the point where it's like, you can't even work. Like you can't get the pedals over. If you're a strong cyclist, you can definitely get down into like the, you know, 55 range. But doing a lot of that low cadence work is really good. And the other thing is that you still want to practice all of those positions, even if you're inside, to keep your body familiar, so that when you get outside, you know, it's not such a shock. And even if you're just visualizing, I know that Zwift and that sort of stuff, there's a lot of places that will vary the terrain for you as you're cycling inside, but you still want to practice the body positions.
Yeah. And then, and do get outside and do it, because it's not exactly the same, right?
Oh no, your core stabilizes very differently outside.
Yeah. Anything else I want to say about this? What would be, for recap, I would say that form does matter. And the purpose of this is to have as much efficiency as you can get with a hill.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember, we are in this together.
Until next time.